Well, welcome back, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased, as always, to be joined by Boston University head men's coach, Jay Pandolfo, to get us started. Coach, welcome. And as we bring you in, we last talked just before the drop of the puck at Bentley to begin the season. The Terriers currently at 2-2, 0-1 in Hockey East. The lone league game played by anybody was the Terriers and UNH. That will change dramatically now, beginning this weekend with weekend series all around Hockey East, including the Terriers in UMass. But a pleasure to be able to talk to you here today after a pretty dramatic turnaround on night two at Notre Dame.
Yeah, thanks, Bernie. I think we finally kind of figured out how we have to play. I thought Saturday we kept it a lot more simple. We played a more direct game. We played with more pace. When we didn't have anything in the neutral zone, we put the puck behind Notre Dame and got on the forecheck. I think that was a big part of it, that we just played a much more direct game. I thought in all three zones, our structure was much better. So, I mean, I think that's the way we're capable of playing it if we buy into it. And we certainly did on Saturday night against Notre Dame. It was nice to see. But it is only one game, so we have to build off that and go from there.
Offense was nicely spread around. You had 11 players with points. 8 players had multi-point games, led by Luke Tuck with three-point night for him. You got a pair of goals from Macklin Celebrini. You've done that a couple of times already this year. And 2 goals from one of the members of your freshman class, Shane LaChance, who had a great offensive night for you.
Yeah, I thought everyone contributed that night. Some of the D, all 4 lines contributed. I think all 4 lines got on the score sheet. So that's great to see as well. I just thought everyone was going. And that certainly helped our team, too, when we can, use the whole lineup, use the depth of our lineup, kind of roll our lines, roll our D pairs. And, it certainly helps when you get a lead like we did. But I think for us, we're a much better team when we're using our whole lineup. So it was good to see, again, our Shane LaChance getting 2 goals again, being around the net. Macklin Celebrini, I think he's just going to continue to get better as he gets more comfortable. Not easy for a 17-year-old stepping in college hockey. He's obviously handling himself very well, but I feel like he's going to continue to even improve off of where he's at. It was great to see. It just seemed like everyone contributed that night, and it was a lot of fun.
Aiden Celebrini also from the blue line with his first career goal. Macklin was pretty excited about that. Jay, you bring up a good point about Macklin and our observation of him through the month of October. Sometimes with that skill level, you forget he's only 17 years old.
Yeah, it's just because of the way he plays, you forget that he's still only 17 years old. But he plays such a complete game, such a direct game. He gets inside the dots. He's certainly not a perimeter player. He gets inside all over the ice. It's fun to see that. And he's just going to continue to improve. He's going to continue to improve defensively as well. He's still, just getting used to how we play defensively. He's picking it up pretty quickly, but he's still going to improve in that area. He's doing a good job coming through the neutral zone with speed. And offensively, I think still, we have a lot of new players, but I still think our guys are getting used to playing with each other and reading off each other, and I think that's going to continue to improve as well. I think we have clearly 13 new players, 13 are goalies, but we have a lot of new players, but we're still getting used to connecting as a team on the ice. It seems like they're getting along very well off the ice, but up until Saturday, we weren't connecting on the ice, and it was the first time we saw that Saturday, so that's definitely a positive.
You talk about simplifying the game, and doesn't it come down to just a couple of basics? And one I know that you address is just being mindful and defending and taking away the middle of the ice in your own zone. And if you look back to last year, that meant so much defending well in terms of your transition to the offensive side and being able to get quick to the offense and get out of the zone quickly.
Yeah, and we saw that on Saturday. That was a big part of our game. We were transitioning from defense to offense really quickly, and that's when we're at our best. And I think in the first 2 periods, and the other thing we obviously had an issue with our first couple of games, certainly versus UNH, and even a little bit on Friday shot in the slot. We gave up some outside shots, but the first two periods, I don't think there was a shot that got through in the slot area. So that tells me that we're playing the right way defensively. And when we do that, we're just a much better team. Third period was still really good, and they ended up getting some power plays and stuff like that. And the game was kind of out of hand at that point. But I still thought overall we stuck to the plan, even right to the end of the game, which was great to see.
And through the first three games up until Saturday night, you had talked about the struggles on the breakout. And when teams do struggle on the breakout, your team no exception, oftentimes it comes from maybe not as much mishandling, but overhandling on the breakout and not being quite as quick. The quickness was there, the alacrity, the quickness was there on Saturday night to get up and get out of the zone, as opposed to maybe handling or maybe overhandling one or two times too many.
Yeah, I think up until Saturday, we were playing too slow. And at times, too, like, we want to get out once we possess the puck, and we were not getting out quick enough. We were overhandling it too much. And there's nothing wrong, too, at that time. If you have nothing, just to get it into the neutral zone and let our guys skate and put pressure on the other team's defense. And we didn't have that mindset the first couple games. We had it on Saturday, and it paid off for us. So that's part of it. And the other thing, too, for us, too, is, like, you got to make mistakes on breakouts. It's going to happen. Other teams are good forechecking teams. It's what you do when you make a mistake. Do you get right into your structure? And we did that again on Saturday. Like, we had a couple breakdowns, but we got right to our structure, and we were able to handle it. I thought versus UNH especially, when we didn't execute in our breakouts, we did not get right to our structure, and that's why we were giving up stuff in the slot. And, Friday versus Notre Dame, there really wasn't a lot of issues breaking out wise. It was just, obviously we gave some goals we'd like to have back, but I thought Saturday, when we did make mistakes, we got right back into our structure and limited any further damage. And that, in our system, that should be the case. We know we're going to make mistakes, but we should have our layers, so there shouldn't be any issues.
There's puck management, and then there's puck battles, and the importance of winning puck battles. That seemed to be in evidence. There seemed to be more of an urgency on Saturday. It was just all areas of the game. That was another one that really came to mind in terms of being able to have the tenacity to win those puck battles that are so vital to winning hockey.
Yeah, and you can't be one and done, especially in the offensive zone, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, not so much Bentley, because we spent a lot of time in the offensive zone, but certainly UNH and certainly the first game against Notre Dame, we did not win enough puck battles in the offensive zone, and we didn't spend enough time down there. And that was part of it on Saturday. We were, second, third effort on pucks, winning puck battles, led to goals. The Celebrini first goal was a perfect example of that. We lost the faceoff, but we jumped right away. We stopped on pucks. We won a couple of puck battles. And the next thing, we possessed the puck, and obviously Mackle made a heck of a play, but still we got possession because we won puck battles, and the puck ended up in the back of the net.
And shots on goal, as we talk about, they can be so misleading in terms of what the total can be as opposed to what the overall effect can be as far as goal scoring or legitimate chances to score. You had 94 shots on net credited for the weekend. The 50 on Saturday were much more consequential, and for the most part, much higher percentage being around the net. The 44 on Friday, I think, could have been more misleading, Jay, just because of the fact that Notre Dame's structure really kept you on the perimeter, and you just simply didn't seem like the effort was there to work hard enough to get to the net, especially against a goaltender like Bichelle. You know that it's going to be tough to get second chances, let alone the fact that he's going to be able to pretty much handle those first shots.
Yeah, that was definitely, we had 40-some shots on Friday, but wasn't good enough quality shots and second chance shots. It was, more from the outside. And when we're a good team, we're getting inside. That's part of it. It has to be a mindset for our group. And we're willing to get inside. That's when we get our second chances. That's when we find rebounds. And that was evident on Saturday night. And I know we scored some goals off transition as well, but we were much better in the offensive zone, getting those second chances, getting to the net. That's when we're at our best.
Accomplished it without two of your four veteran defensemen, of your returnees for this season that you knew you were going to count on very heavily, with Cade Weber out of the lineup. who had missed the entire weekend, and then Lane Hudson, who missed the game on Saturday. I think that's a testament to the depth back there, and also to the leadership of your captain, who Case McCarthy, who had to make a move.
Yeah, it was a good opportunity for guys to step up without Lane and Weber, who handled a lot of minutes back there. So for other guys to get an opportunity, I thought they handled themselves very well. And Case, I thought Case was excellent on Saturday, shifting to the left side, which he hasn't played a lot, so that can be uncomfortable, but he was willing to do it. He handled himself very well there, so that was great to see. And then you had, you know, we were playing four freshmen regularly on Saturday, and second night on the road, that can be a lot to ask, but these guys handled it very well and all contributed and all played very well. So I was really happy to see that. It's very encouraging to see the depth of our defense, four of them being freshmen, to step up like that.
How important is it now for you as a coaching staff to be able to point out, practice what we preach here? And I know you practice very well. You've talked about the practices during the week, and when I've talked to the staff, you've been pleased with the way that this team has practiced. The first couple of weeks, it didn't really translate to game action. But now it's almost as if you have a blueprint to say, hey, guys, if you listen to us, this could be the result for you. This could be you once again.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's about the execution and the buy-in to doing the things that we're capable of doing. And like you said, it, like, our practices have been overall been pretty good, and we've stuck to our structure, and we've done everything pretty much the right way. Some of the stuff on Saturday versus Notre Dame that we can show when we are successful, and it's certain things that we work on in practice that that certainly work out for our team, and we executed that Saturday, and that's a big part of it. And I think for our guys to understand that, you have to be willing to play a certain way and stick to the plan, and that's what we did. And you know, we'll work on that again this week and hopefully be able to execute on Friday.
A small sample size right now. You mentioned about overall, including the exodus from the goalie room and the three newcomers at that position. You, overall, as far as the progress of the young players here that have come in, I'll number them the young players, not just the freshmen, in terms of the way that they've acclimated to the system and just the overall as far as the BU way, if you will, and the way you want to get it done.
Yeah, I think everyone's starting to get comfortable with how we play and how we want to play, and the goaltending as well. Like, Karan is kind of getting used to, I think, how we play, what our defensive coverage is all about, like where the shots are going to come from. So he's certainly adjusting to that, adjusting to his defensemen on where they want the puck on breakouts, if he's first back on it. So those little things, it takes time. And I think he's getting more and more comfortable. He seemed comfortable in the net on Saturday. I know he didn't get tested much early, but in the third period when they had some power plays, I thought he was really good. So that was great to see. And, you know, I think we'll see him gain more and more confidence, continue to get better.
Great to get a power play goal on Saturday. You've been just 1-for-13 stretch. But 1-for-5 on the power play, and seemed to move it better, move it quicker, and as a result, to find some seams and get some better looks to get pucks to the net, which we talk about all the time, is not easy at any level of hockey right now.
No, that's certainly been an issue for us, both penalty kill and power play again, and that was a focus to start the year. We haven't got off to the start we wanted. There's no question about that, and that's affected our results too. It was good to see us get a goal on Saturday. We actually, I think, hit four posts on the power play, too, on Saturday night. So it definitely could have been a couple more. But I did think we moved it better, quicker. We had a little bit more of an attack mentality, which I think helped us. You know, we've got one to go in the net. Hopefully we can build off that and continue to improve there.
And the PK was 4-for-4. And you mentioned about Karan and a lot of PK for the Terriers in the third period. You had time to work on that with the big lead. He ended up with 16 stops in the third, but you mentioned his comfort level and particularly as part of the goaltender, as part of the penalty kill, in knowing about how you're going to kill and how you're going to pressure the opponent.
Yeah, and I think any time on the penalty kill, your best penalty killer always has to be your goaltender.
Yep.
That's part of it. And, yeah, I think he's getting more comfortable knowing where the shots are going to come from. You know, you try to take certain options away on the other team's power play. And, you know, our goalie should know that, know where dangerous shots will come from, and he's certainly reading that pretty well right now.
Well, it's been a little bit of a road warrior opening to the season, playing at Bentley, playing at UNH in the first league game, and then making the trip out to South Bend to take on Notre Dame. Finally, the official home opener on Friday, and it'll be UMass, a team that the Terriers had success with a year ago. It'll be a home and home. You'll begin it at home. You go out to Amherst on Saturday. Early thoughts here this week about getting ready for the Minutemen. We're off to a very good start with a split against Michigan and a sweep at Minnesota State. A big weekend for them in Mankato last week.
Yeah, they're playing well, very well. They've got off to a great start. You know, we have to be focused on how we're going to play and how, you know, try to build off for Saturday. It's our first game at home. I know we play a development team. I don't want to count that one. So this is our first real game at home here in front of our home crowd. And we were very good at home last year, and we want to establish that again this year. From the first drop of the puck here, we got to get back to our game right away and dictate the pace of play. And, you know, we understand UMass is a very well-coached team, and they're hard to play against, and we have to be ready for it.
Good luck this weekend, Jay, getting back into Hockey East play with the Minutemen, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Friday night at Aganis.
Thanks, Bernie. Appreciate it.
Coach Jay Pandolfo getting us started here this week on Inside BU Hockey. Well, welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined on the women's side by the head coach of the Boston University women's ice hockey team, Tara Wachorn. Tara, as we get started, congratulations. Certainly in order for your first victory. And we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the progress of the team to this point. But that had to be a very, very memorable moment for you, great moment for you, one that I know you worked very hard to attain.
Yes, thank you, Bernie, and thanks for having me back. It was definitely a great moment. Nice to get the first one under our belt. You know, when you're playing well and doing the right things, it's nice to get that, you know, get that win, and really happy for the girls.
No, indeed, I'm sure that you are. And the schedule we talked about last time on the program, you were just getting ready to embark on this journey, your inaugural journey as the head coach of the 2023-24 team. And it began with Northeastern, so, oh, okay, that's all. the challenge, I guess, so that's where you get mad at the league or you get mad at the schedule maker for putting you in that position. But nevertheless, it was the challenge of Northeastern, and although you did not get the results that you wanted, I would suspect that there were, and judging from your comments and the performance of the team, a lot of positives to take out of that weekend. Beginning the first night in a game that was locked up and essentially was a one-goal game almost all the way throughout.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, like, I think playing Northeastern was an exciting way to start. I think that what made it not so ideal for us was that they were going into game five and we were going into game one. Mm-hmm. So I think we definitely felt that they had a few more games under their belt. But as you mentioned, I think we played well. We were in it from the beginning. The girls were competing hard. I think we outshot them on day two and were really close, if not same, on the first day. And so we generated offense and ozone time. And so I think with regards to offense, right, with the ozone time. So I think there was a lot of good things to build off of there. And I think the cool part was hearing from the girls that they felt good about it. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think, what we really wanted to carry with us as we went into the next weekend.
You know, the first night you went with young Mary Peterson in goal, and I know that you're very high on her potential and her talent, and against a team that plays with a great deal of confidence with their success, that she held up very well for you.
Yeah, for sure. You got to think, coming in as a freshman, and we're playing Northeastern first game, and she's gotten better and better every game, and excited for her.
And, of course, in the other net, my gosh, I looked at the stats there with Phillips. It just gaudy. Incredible, the numbers that she had put up going into that series. You know that you got a tall task to be able to get a puck by her and to be able to work hard to get second chances, to take the eyes away, all the things that you got to do, all those little things that you got to do to just give yourself a chance offensively.
Yeah, for sure. She's a great goaltender and made our life tough. And it kind of worked out well. We've been talking a lot about goal scoring and creating quality chances. And we were able to see that we did it a bit, but really helped solidify that teaching moment for us. And it's not just about beating the other five players. It's about beating the goalie and creating those quality looks. And we're able to really carry a lot of those lessons with us.
Yeah, first game, mentioned it was 1-1 and down 2-1 early in the second. Essentially two goals in the final minute, including an empty netter. And on the second night, a game that was scoreless for about 45 minutes, very tight, but once again, toe-to-toe with a team that has been the standard for Hockey East and one of the top teams nationally. And again, the confidence has got to build from that.
Definitely, yeah. That second game, I was really proud with how we came out. It was a quick turnaround. And I really liked our transition game. I think, obviously, nerves always are going to be there, especially in your first game as a team. But I think we settled in with the puck. I think we transitioned well as a group and had even more confidence offensively.
And the goaltending, splitting the responsibilities, went with Alexa Matsis in the second game. And she, once again, she came up big for you.
Yeah, really cool moment for her getting to start against the school she spent the last 4 years at her alma mater, and she played great for us. I think we played a very fast game, and we gave up some 1-1 VOs, 2 VOs, and she came up big in a lot of those moments and kept us in the game.
You talked about some of the players coming into the season. One was Alex Law. She generated some offense there as leading with 6 shots on net, and it's all about pucks to the net, Taryn. You know how tough it is to get pucks to the net.
Yeah, for sure. I think she came in right away and just proved she can skate the game at this level. And, you know, on top of that, compete. And I think that kind of that dynamic of her game, playing with both, really allows her skills to shine through and translate. And it was cool to see her really have an impact.
No doubt about that. Mention about being able to generate a lot of good scoring chances, the fact that you outshot Northeastern. 5-on-5, you did have chances, and probably demonstrating to the team, sometimes you preach it, and then sometimes it's demonstrated in a game that you have the ability to transition and be able to create offense in those 5-on-5 situations.
Yeah, for sure. I think we really did get to feel that. We threw some pretty unique type of style play at them with regards to transition. So I think some things that were new, and with the whole goal of playing predictable to each other as a unit of five out there, and you could really see it starting to click. So cool for them to get to feel that.
And also as far as the power play, oftentimes, and I think this is where you as you brought out, Northeastern playing games 5 and 6, you playing games 1 and 2 against Northeastern. The special teams are a work in progress often. Coaching staff, et cetera. You did have some struggles against Northeastern in the first two games, but I know that you would address one of the areas of being able to be in control and to be able to get the retrievals and to stay in control, to be able to generate the offense and allow that to build to get opportunities.
Yeah, for sure. Special teams is always going to be something we chip away at. I mean, it's always important, but especially early on, just getting everyone on the same page and for us to find out who clicks, but also that balance of giving the units a chance to create some chemistry and buy in. And like you said, I think what sometimes we overcomplicate it. All it really comes down to is getting retrievals and wearing teams down and creating those chances and retrieve the puck again. And we've definitely seen a lot of growth in that area.
It is early, but teams gain an identity. And you being new to the program and the girls being new to you, I mean, it is an experience where you're all kind of getting familiar with each other at this point. Your early thoughts as far as the culture of the team, the identity of the team, and how it's coming together overall?
It's really, really cool. I mean, I credit the girls to being so open to doing things differently and open to the growth of each other, even over the course of their time together. I really can say that they've bought in, they've jumped in with both feet, and I think it's starting to take shape. I think what we've really worked on in the early goings here is really just cementing our norms and how we want to show up every day, prioritizing, that we all have ownership in creating the environment that we want to feel and benefit from, and knowing that everyone from freshmen to seniors and staff, that we all contribute to it, and taking pride in how we elevate each other every day. So really proud of the group so far, and it will be cool to get to put it to the test as we get into some, you know, high pressure, high stakes type of game.
Well, you came back after time off in between there, and you had some time to think about and break down the Northeastern series and then gear up open at home, which you did last weekend. First night against Syracuse, a visit from Syracuse was a 4-4 overtime tie. And, well, I guess you had some adversity, and you saw some resilience in your team right away, the fact that you found yourselves down 2-0 just 4 minutes into the game.
Yep, no doubt. It was kind of one of those games you knew it was going to go one way or the other. And I think having the weekend off is you try your best. I think it was good for us long term to build some energy, energy stores in our bank account before going into the heat of the season. But you knew that the bounce back was always going to be a challenge. And yeah, they responded. We went down 2 very early. And I like that resilience in our group. I think you can see a lot of good there and the stuff that we've been trying to create, and we made it a game.
Climbed back, had a lead after 2, and had a couple of leads. Give Syracuse credit, the fact that they came back to tie the game not once but twice. You did get 4 different goal scorers. You got the offense spread around with Hansel and Disher and Martin and Mativi, who was honored by Hockey East.
Yeah, pretty cool, I think, when you look at 4 different goal scorers, but also kind of cool that 3 of them were defensemen. I think that us having, you know, a veteran D core and one where our, you know, they get up in the play and have an impact offensively. And I think when all 5 of your players on the ice at once can, you know, they can be a threat and generate, I think is a pretty cool thing. So yeah, nice to see the scoring spread around for sure.
And generated 38 shots. You had almost a 2-1 advantage on shots on net. Once again, just the mantra of being able to get pucks to the net. And the only way that good things happen is to get pucks to the net. It's got to start with that.
For sure. And I think that was the biggest message. You know, obviously we want to come out every game with a win, and especially that one when you get that many shots on net. And I think it was a really good challenge in believing in the process, because it's a game that we played well, and there was a lot of good. And I think I was really proud of our group and realizing that we have our team benchmarks and how we track, you know, success for us as a group and how we play regardless of score. So I think it was just believing in that and believing that it's going to, you know, click for us down the road. And, you know, I think a lot of the conversation was, okay, we did a lot of great offensively, but let's dial into our defensive habits a bit more, knowing that it's just going to lead to more offense.
0-5 on the power play, but that was somewhat misleading because the tying goal that you scored was just after a power play expired. I'm coming up with my own stats. See if you're with me, Tara. I've coined this probably in the last couple of seasons. I call it the power play hangover goal. You got one of those.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, you know, like you said, kind of frustrating. That's the second one we've had. The same thing happened to us against Northeastern. We scored a goal like a second after the power play ended. So, you know, like, it's a testament to the power play nonetheless, right? So definitely you could tell we're inching closer with regards to our power play.
No doubt. And then, of course, the victory, the big victory, one that you're going to long remember. You're going to remember who was there with you as far as the team and the makeup of the team long into your coaching career. And it was a decisive one. You came back 6-1, 43-13, the shots on net indicative of the territorial advantage. And you had a couple of people that really stepped up for you offensively. Case in point, Sidney Healy leading the way with 2 goals and assists. Big 3-point game.
Yeah, really, really special day. It was just fun to kind of see it all come together. They were upgrading the puck, creating quality, and just generating, like you said, that territorial advantage. And I think the big thing is just taking pride in that every shift, every time you go out there. And they definitely had an amazing game and a lot of fun to, you know, get to share that with them after. And like you said, one I'll never forget.
Spent a little bit too much time on the PK, but were very successful in the game. You went 9-for-9, a lot of power play time for the opposition, but handled it with great poise.
Interesting, right, when you have that type of dominance in a game to be on the PK that much. But great practice early in the year. I'm a big fan of PK personally, so we got a great look. We introduced a little bit of some new concepts after the Northeastern weekend, because like you said, it was only our first game, and as we've been rolling out our PK over time, so it was a lot of great practice. We'll take it as that.
and Nadia Mativi, the first of the members of your team honored by Hockey East. Just her importance and the impact that she has in all three zones, and just having a veteran hand out there, a veteran presence with her.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I was talking with her today, and I think it's a testament to her maturity and professionalism, like the rest of the group. I mean, the beginning of the game on Friday didn't necessarily start the way I'm sure she wanted either, and to see, like, the maturity in her game and be able to take that and then put together what she did for the, you know, remaining five periods, pretty special and a testament to her. And she really is. You can just feel her presence on the ice. She has an impact in all three zones and looks to get in the mix every shift she's out there. So really happy for her to be acknowledged for all that.
And once again, great to see, as you pointed out, I know in your press conference afterwards, a true team win and being rewarded, you know, until you get that first one in the left column. For your team, it's a special moment because of everything that goes into it for your off season, your preparation, your preseason, and then to be able to see it come to fruition and get that W.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, I mean, you always want that win as quick as possible in that column, but right. I think, like, with the slow build of our group and seeing the, you know, the internal success and seeing the build, it kind of made it that much sweeter knowing that we put the hard work in to get there and we did it the way that we wanted to do it.
And this weekend it'll be Hockey East play. Tara, your thoughts as you get ready for the challenge of the Maine Black Bears and being able to take it on the road to Alfond Arena. Well, the Welkies will know the way to Alfond Arena. They won't need GPS.
Yeah, exactly. We've been asking them for a couple spots they like to eat at, too. Might as well, right? But it's always a grind when you go to Maine. It's always going to be a tough trip, and they added a lot of fresh faces to their roster and look to be a really competitive group. So it's going to be a great challenge reintroducing ourselves to Hockey East play again, and excited for the challenge.
I'll try to help you out there, too. I could give you a couple of spots up in that area that might be good for dining. So I'll do what I can to help you, Tara.
Love to hear it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Best of luck taking the show on the road this weekend with the Terriers and up against the University of Maine with points on the line in the Hockey East race. Tara, we wish you luck and look forward to talking to you next time on Inside BU Hockey.
Thanks so much, Bernie.
Tara Watch on our guest here, head coach of the Terrier women's team, our guest here this week on Inside BU Hockey. Well, welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined in our Terrier profile this week by Boston University freshman left wing out of Andover, Mass., Shane LeChance, and third generation Boston University Terrier, I might add here, or I would be remiss to not add it. Shane, welcome. To say we're all friends, I guess, really doesn't capture the moment because I guess I've literally known about you since about the time that you were born. So that's kind of a rarity for me at this point in my career.
Yeah, for sure it is. Yep.
Yeah, I don't think I could go back any further than that. So anyway, just to get that right out front. But congratulations, a big weekend for you and a big bounce back for the Terriers on Saturday night that you were right in the middle of. I'm sure the experience of getting not one, but two, getting your first and second career goals in that game. Something I'm sure that I guess I won't be out of line to say, something you'll never forget. I'm sure the experience was exhilarating for you.
Yeah, it's obviously something I'll never forget. You know, it was even better to do it in an 8-2 win. I think that's something that you look back on and you'll always remember your first goal, but you'll always remember that you guys won. And, you know, the whole weekend was a great experience. Obviously, we didn't get the results we wanted on Friday night, but we came back Saturday and got the win. And I think we were talking on Saturday in the hotel about, you know, how historic of a place Notre Dame is. We were walking around a little bit, and it was just, you know, just good to come out of there with a good feeling and fly home, you know, on a good note.
First goal was a redirect, and dare I say it was one of, I think, the most deft redirects that I've seen. I would rank right up there. Is this something that you have been really comfortable with during the course of your career? I mean, you've got a power forward mentality with the body at 6'5 and going about 220. But is that something that you spent a lot of time? It looks like you spent a lot of time working on in terms of being able to redirect pucks with success.
Yeah, I think I'm lucky enough to have the advantage that I'm a bigger guy, and, you know, it might be harder to defend in front of the net, so I realize that, and I just try to stick to my game. And, yeah, me and Tucky work on it a lot after practice. It's important. I mean, it's an important aspect of the game. I think it goes unnoticed sometimes, but, you know, it's really important, and, you know, I was lucky enough to – I'm not gonna lie. I'd love to say I knew I was trying to put that top corner, but yep. You know, I kind of just got a stick on it. And lucky enough, it found the back of the net. So.
And the second goal that you got was of the second chance variety. Came off an initial rush at the beginning of the play, but something that didn't happen, not surprisingly, from Friday to Saturday, Shane, was the Terriers' ability to work and to get themselves in position to get those second chances. Another part of your game that I think is going to lend itself well to the success of the Terriers, to be able to work hard to get those second chances.
Yeah, I think we did a really good job Saturday. I think you could really see, you know, what we can do when we play as one unit and we play together. We work hard for each other. Like I said, it was 8-2, and, you know, there's 2 minutes left in the third period, and you're winning 8-2. You know, a lot of teams could just roll over and just, you know, be like, all right, let's get on the plane and get out of here. But, you know, I think we gave it our best effort all the way through the last 2 minutes, and you could see that by guys who are blocking shots, guys who are back-checking for each other, and I think that's the mentality we got to have going forward here.
I'm trying to remember who blocked the shot. Was it Doug Grimes, your line mate, that might have blocked a shot there in the last 2 minutes of the game, last minute of the game?
Yeah. You had a big block there for us. So that, you know, you love to see that stuff. It makes it a lot easier to go out there and play for your teammates when they're blocking shots for you, for sure.
And a big part of your role with Coach Pandolfo at this point is taking your strength and your power game and putting it in front of the net. Your net front presence, Wilmer Skoog had manned that last season with great success. Is that something you feel comfortable with as far as being that net front guy in terms of the makeup of the Terrier power play?
Yeah, obviously it's a privilege to be on the power play. You know, we have such a great team, so anytime you can go out there and contribute, you know, I'm going to try to do my best. And I think, you know, with my assets, you know, I think that's the spot where, you know, my game excels, and I take pride in, you know, being a good net front guy. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to have guys like Lane and guys like Wilms who just, you know, are able to find me down there. So it's just a great setup all around.
A little bit about your background. I know most of the story, but a lot of people don't. So we'll kind of try to give them some of the details. Of course, your dad, Scott, on the 91, the ill-fated Boston University team that lost the epic national championship game, went right to the 92 Olympic team and then right to the NHL for, 12, 13-year career in the NHL. You growing up in Andover, when did it all start for you and your brothers and being able to get on the ice? I think it was at a pretty early age, as I recall.
Yeah, it was real early. Like you said, I was lucky enough to, you know, live in such a fortunate situation, such a great area. Obviously, in the wintertime, my dad, my uncle, my grandfather, both my grandfathers actually would help me out. You know, we'd build a backyard rink, and it was, my older brother Jake was always big for me. It was always nice to look up to him because I always wanted to do everything that he wanted to do, and you know, he pushed me a lot, and then I had Ryan coming up from behind me, so you know, I had to pull away from him, but no, it was awesome. I think, you know, my family helped support me a lot, and you know, I just was fortunate enough to, you know, be able to come to BU to skate if I wanted to, and you know, I just had all the resources, so I was very fortunate in that regard.
Yeah, I remember Jack talking about what a great setup you had out there with the outdoor rink and place where you could go in and have a hot chocolate there and kind of warm up with the family. Really ideal. As long as it stayed cold enough, you had a pretty good setting to be able to develop your game.
Yeah, it was perfect. Not many people wish for more cold at the end of the winter, but when you got a nice backyard rink, that's all you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely, great setup. And played at Andover High School. I remember seeing you play at Andover High School. That experience for you, and I think you were there. I remember when there was a little bit of controversy with the head coach, and Grandpa Jack actually had to come in and grab the whiteboard on occasion and do a little bit of coaching.
Yeah, I mean, it was that was weird for sure. it was weird to see. year, fell just short at the end, but right. I think that really brought us together as a group.
And then it was on to Tabor Academy, and of course there is only two retired numbers there for BU hockey, and one of course is 6 for your grandfather, the other one is 24 for Travis Roy, and you ended up at the school that Travis Roy started at before he came to Boston University. What about the decision to go down and head down to Marion, Mass, and to play at Tabor?
Yeah, I mean, I think my older brother Jake, he went to Berkshire, and I visited there, and it was a great spot. But you know, once I went to Tabor, I knew I wanted to go there. You know, it's hard to pass that up right in the water. Like you said, you know, Travis went there, and you know, I looked up to him a lot. You know, I wore 24 there. I wore 24 for the past 3 years, actually, and obviously didn't have the chance to wear it here, but you know, that's something that I take a lot of pride in, and you know, my grandfather was very close to him, so it's you know, that was definitely a big factor in going to Tabor and obviously coming here for sure.
And unfortunately, COVID affected your career at Tabor, as it affected everybody.
Yeah, it did. Cut my junior year short, I guess. You could say, and the end of sophomore, and then junior year wasn't the same. But yeah, I had a great time. I definitely enjoyed those 2 years I was there for sure.
And then the 2 years in Youngstown with the U.S. Junior Hockey League, and that culminated really just a breakout year for you last year. You tied for fourth in the league in goals with 54 points, and captain of the Clark Cup championship team. Just such a big jump, just a quantum leap from year one to year two. Was it just a matter of maturity and your expectations, knowing what to expect in the off season in terms of how you got ready for such a big year last year?
Yeah, I think it's just a combination of that and having all the right resources around me. I think second year in any league, you're coming in with more confidence, you know, knowing that, you know, you can play in that league, and you know, you can be a top player in that league. And then, you know, we got a new coach who, you know, pushed us real hard, and you know, he was great for us. He really helped me out. You know, it's never an easy job to be a leader, and you know, I was lucky enough to have great coaches and, you know, great teammates around me who really helped me out. And you know, we just, like you said, ended up having a great year together, and that's definitely something that I'll never forget.
Power forward comes to mind when you think about you and your game, being able to play with a little bit of an edge, keep it on the discipline side from a physical standpoint. Anybody in the NHL that you take maybe a closer look at with their game to implement some elements into your own game, Shane?
Yeah, but you guys might know him pretty well, but I love to watch Brady Tkachuk play.
Yes.
I think he's one of the best, if not the best, power forward in the NHL right now, and he just does stuff so well, you know, around the net, down low. He uses his size real well, so that's definitely someone who I look up to and I admire a lot.
And you've got a great team to guide you between your dad, who was stayed active in the game as a scout, and then, of course, your grandfather. And I believe your grandfather did have a conversation with you Friday about where he wanted you or where he wanted you to get to when Macklin Celebrini's in possession of the puck on that power play.
Yeah, he had some good teaching for me. obviously, Mac can shoot it pretty good, so. You know, he was just telling me that when it goes over to his side on the power play to make sure I'm standing in front of the goalie, which he was exactly right. And I think,
yep.
You know, I took that in the next game, and I think we had a little bit more success on the power play. So he definitely helped me out there.
Make sure you're taking the eyes away there, no question, on the goaltender.
Yeah,
big part of your role. And I know just from knowing you growing up, I used to see you and your brothers around, and I used to love the fact that you guys had that miracle movie pretty well memorized. I remember you guys could sit there, you guys could do the dialogue of the movie back and forth with each other, which was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, no, that was great. I don't know if I still have it, but I guess maybe a couple lines. But yeah, me and my brothers, we were always up to something, whether it was a movie or, you know, always mixing it up, doing something. And I was fortunate to have them for sure.
And I got to ask you, I think you were about 6 years old at the time. What you remember, speaking of movies, I still call it the Disney movie experience about winning that national championship in 2009, and you and your brothers with your mother Jacqueline at that game. What do you remember about DC and what was just a magical moment? There's no other way to describe it, to win the national championship in the way that the Terriers won it that year.
Yeah, I mean, I was sick, but I do it, honestly, pretty vividly. I think it was the last 8 minutes probably, and my older brother and Jack Davis were in front of me, and they're like praying, they're down in their lap praying, and I'm just sitting there crying, like I couldn't stop crying. My mom telling me to calm down and stuff, and all of a sudden, like, you know, two goals later, we're in overtime, and now it's like you're not even nervous anymore. Like, all right, we're gonna win this game, and but I guess the rest is history. And it was just the latest night I've ever stayed up. I remember I was up till like 4 a.m. and at that age, that was unheard of. So that was definitely a pretty fun night.
Yeah, your mother ran a pretty tight ship to keep you up till 4 a.m. I remember when it was a challenge, and I talked to you about this last week, for you and your brothers to stay up and listen to me calling the games. I had to yell out to you there during the 09 season, a game that beat Northeastern in overtime, and the first thing that came to mind, I called the goal. I think it was Matt Gilray, and I said, I hope the Chance boys are up listening. I hope they haven't gone to bed yet.
Yeah, she did run a tight ship, but obviously we were young, and we needed to get back, and you know, there will be plenty of other games to go to. So, like I said, we'd rather miss all those games and then make it to the national championship game and see them win. So, we were lucky enough to be able to go to DC too. So, I think that was good. She did a great job. You know, we were a little kids, needed some sleep. You know, so it's all right.
4 a.m. You were up later than your grandfather that night. I'll guarantee it. There you go.
Yeah, probably.
Exactly. Well, one thing that comes to mind with your grandfather is superstitions. He was pretty legendary for them. You got any superstitions revolving you and your game and preparing for the games?
Not too much. I try not to think about that stuff. I would say it's more of like a routine. I think if I do superstitions and like I don't do one of them, I know people think that like if they don't do one of their superstitions, you know, they're not going to have a good game, but I have more of a routine, nothing too crazy. Kind of when I get to the rink, it's the same thing, like stretch, sit on the bench for a little bit and just kind of visualize, but nothing too crazy. I think that's more just stuff that helps me get my mindset, you know, in the right spot for the game, and less worried about, you know, if I don't do it, I'm not going to have a good game. I usually, game by game, I just try to do, you know, what gets my mind and my body feeling right for the game.
Well, with a two-goal game, I did the math there. You're 3 behind your dad, you're 29 behind your grandfather, and you're 42 behind Uncle Bob on the all-time goal list at BU. So that's something to work on and to aspire to going forward, Shane.
Yeah, seriously, I think that would be that's a pretty good goal to set. Would be nice to get to the top of that list, but obviously, you gotta give my dad a little more credit. He made off. He was only here
for 1 year. That's
right. He was a pretty good player himself. So, I mean, I don't think those goals do him justice. But it's crazy to think that he's that far behind my grandfather. I mean, I think he might have been a little better player than him. So,
well, he had 4 years too. Jack had 4 years, as you said. Scott only had one. So that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Indeed. And the next challenge for the Terriers will be the UMass Minutemen. They're off to an impressive start, and some big Hockey East games this weekend. Your thoughts getting ready for the first back-to-back Hockey East weekend series?
Yeah, I'm excited. Obviously, home opener. I got a little taste of Aganis a couple weekends ago. Obviously, I know the place will be packed, and it'll be fun, you know. But at the end of the day, we got to stay consistent, and we got to start building our way up here. Great game from us on Saturday, but that means nothing if we can't go out and get the same effort on Friday and Saturday and go on so forth. So I think we just got to find that consistency and, you know, play our game, and I think the results will follow. So we're excited for sure.
Well, excited about the game on Saturday, as everybody in Terrier Nation, and for a great night that you had, and look for you to keep it up going forward here, Shane. More success here, and thanks for catching up with us on our Terrier Profile this week. All the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bernie. Appreciate it.
Shane LaChance, our Terrier Profile, Terrier freshman left winger out of Andover, Mass, here on Inside BU Hockey.
Hey, And welcome back here once again from the Boston University Alumni Golf Tournament 2023. Bernie Corbett being joined by many former Boston University players of note. And I guess I got to change rings right now. I had the 95. Hang on just a second here. This is going to be a prop change. I had the 95. I brought both rings today. All right, I feel like I can talk to him now. Good captain of the co-captain. Matt Gilroy's not here, but co-captain of the 2009 Boston University National Champions, John McCarthy. John, welcome. Great to have you here, and festive atmosphere, and a chance for you to really reconnect with a lot of your former teammates.
Yeah, it's great. Great day today. Good weather. Great course. BlackRock did a great job hosting the event. Course was beautiful. Took care of us all over the place, so it was really good to be here.
Other than the fact that, you know, us North Shore guys had to travel south. You know,
fight the traffic. I know. Yeah, but we know. Do what we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. The important thing is to be here and to be able to reconnect as you have with a number of your former teammates. And also, I think it's been a great opportunity to meet with the current BU team, the team that'll be taking the ice in October.
Yeah, we had I think four freshmen behind, incoming freshmen. A couple drives were tumbling right up on the green. So I like what I saw today as far as next year goes.
Yeah, a lot of buzz around the team. We've been talking about that for next year. I'm sure, you know, you being around the world of hockey, you've been hearing it.
Yeah. Yeah, we played with Joey Pereira, too, who's the assistant coach now, and he was raving about the kids they got coming in, not only as hockey players, but as people. And I think that's important. That distinction is important. When they have good people in that program is when they have the most success.
And, of course, you being, you know, tied to San Jose, and Macklin Celebrini's got very strong ties to that area with his dad working with the Golden State Warriors, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. A lot of talk about him. Obviously, they're very excited about him and heard a lot about him and looking forward to see him in the jersey.
Indeed. John, your career has been, I think, a rather remarkable one, if I should note. And there's been certainly some adversity and some things that you've had to work your way through that people may not know about. Just to, you know, give us the perspective of what it's been like. I mean, you know, what have you done the last 13 years? Well, you've done quite a bit, and now you're in an administrative role in hockey. But once again, you've had some health issues. You've had some things to overcome, and God bless you. Here you are, and you're looking great.
Yeah, thank you very much. No, I've been blessed from my time from BU. Taught me a lot, you know. Came in as a freshman, didn't play a whole lot. Figured out a way to kind of navigate that and find myself in the lineup. And I kind of learned from that experience and carried it over to my pro career. And then, you know, things ended from a health issue. And same things apply. Kind of overcame that. And now I'm in a coaching role, which I love. I love working with the young people every day.
Indeed. And you look back, everybody's particular memory about 2009 was, of course, I always say the Disney movie, the way that game turned out. But you think back to your BU experience, just put some of the things that immediately come to mind that you think about.
Honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is when, in the fall, we all decided to run the river every morning, which was...
Commitment.
Around the Charles River. I think it was 3 or 4 miles, I think, at 5 in the morning, couple days a week. That really kind of shaped us as far as did it apply directly to being a better hockey team? Probably not, but the commitment level picked up from that. And I think that was the thing that I kind of remember the most is that commitment that we had to a team.
And that was all part of that burn the boats mentality.
Yes, exactly.
That brought the national championship.
Exactly.
And currently, boy, there's a lot of Terriers in that organization right now in San Jose. And you just won. You got David Quinn, you got Mike Greer and yourself there. It's all about BU in San Jose.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's good. It's good to see those guys, you know, a lot, obviously. And it's always good. We have that to kind of fall back on, our relationship with BU. That's kind of the foundation of kind of how we interact now. So it's good.
Indeed the case. John, thanks very much for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much, guys.
John McCarthy, co-captain of the 2019 team of Matt Gilroy's listening, joining us here from the Boston University Alumni Golf Tournament.